Here we go.
You are spot on. Yep. Well, it's 7 o'clock on the dot. Let's go ahead and call this meeting to order. As far as introductions go, looks like the regular suspects, Chase and Karen and Gary and Janelle and Megan and Amanda and Wyatt and Mr. Condit and myself. So much less scrutiny than the last meeting. I told the folks that were inquiring about this meeting that it might be kind of boring. We're going to talk about the budget. So I don't anticipate any public comment, but let's go ahead and roll into item number two. Is there any public comment? Okay, hearing none. Item number three, we need a motion to approve the agenda as presented, or if there's any changes, let's go ahead and talk about them.
I'll go ahead and move to approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
Thank you, ladies. Okay, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Gary, I think you're on mute, or I didn't hear you. Were you an
Aye.
aye? There he is. All right, hi, Gary. Okay, so five ayes, motion carries. The agenda is approved as presented. So meeting minutes from 5/9/24.
Move to approve the minutes of 5/9/24.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay.
Third.
Third, fourth. All right. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay. I
Aye.
think I heard everybody. There he is. All right. Motion carries. Meetings minutes look great from 5/9. So there's no president's message tonight. So we'll skip right through number five. Well, we're going to talk about the financials and the budget tonight. So let's roll right into six, company financial review and expenditures.
Alrighty.
Well, I got for the record, Bob Short at 7:02.
Good evening, Mr. Short.
Good evening.
So transactions, these are all sent out, posted to the website, kind of standard operating procedure. There was one change kind of last minute. We put in a $5,000 PUD bill, assumed it was just kind of a guess. The PUD bill doesn't come out till like the fourth or the fifth. It ended up being 7397. So I made an adjustment, as you can see on your screen, 2397. And then also, I currently have ALM on site. They're actually in going to be in two different spots tomorrow. And this is going to be basically the balance of the vegetation budget from last year. So we'll pay it during payroll. To kind of give you an idea. So the 6240, kind of there in the middle, it says levy, spraying, logging, clearing, mowing. There's still some money left in that budget, about 13,000. So I wanted to allocate that to the current, I guess, operations ongoing right now. And we're ahead of fire season, so that's great. We don't have that extra fire season charge, so I thought we'd just get after it while we could. So that would add the 13,000 of the budget to the transfer so we could pay it at payroll and then get it within the 2023-2024 fiscal year. Anybody have any questions about that? So that would take the total transfer up to 27,400.
Okay, any discussion about the transaction list? If not, then we need a motion to approve it as presented and also a motion to transfer 27,400.
I move to approve the transactions and transfer as presented.
Second.
Second.
Okay, I think that was Amanda that made the motion, and was that you, Megan, that seconded?
I think Aaron beat me.
That's okay.
Oh, Karen beat you. Okay, perfect.
Either way.
Okay, let's have a vote. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Transaction list is approved, and I'm sure Amanda already has a transfer done. Thanks for doing that, Chase. That's going to make budgeting for next year that much easier by getting the mowing in to 23, 24. Great job with that.
Okay. Number seven. Let's go.
Yes.
Oh. So
these.
This is kind of a, I used this format last year when we did budgeting because it's more of a budget P&L, but it also has a statement of cash flows, I guess, part to it, because we do have IFA loan payments, which are not P&L based. They're actually they're a balance sheet transaction, but they do affect cash on hand. So as we explained last year, I try to add that in. And then I also, you can see here down at the end, I guess reports were pulled early for the year. It was on June 6th. And so I tried to get an estimation of what would be realized by budget or fiscal year end, sorry, not budget year, but fiscal year end of June 30. And so I kind of made some notes in here. I added back the Cadman because that is a reimbursable expense and they do have an outstanding balance. So it doesn't give a true picture of our true change in net cash on hand. And that was just more of a accounting to make sure we recognize that. And then their house rent doesn't come in until 10th or the 11th. So I wanted to make sure that was in there. Oh, hold on. We lost Janelle. Let's make sure she gets back on. Sorry. Janelle, are you back on?
I'm back on now. Thanks, Chase.
Okay. So this was kind of the spreadsheet we went through. Sorry, my contractor. Oh, okay. Is there any questions on this, the format? Anybody like to see anything changed or more clarification on anything? And I did just today update the total electricity, including the new amount from the PUD. I guess, is there any comments, questions, discussion?
So I suppose if we need repair and maintenance on any of our buildings, that could come out of unanticipated expense. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
And there's always, I mean, I guess technically, if you look here, there was some expense for the Cherry, the North, the Kessie, the Johnson. It happens every year. I would consider that an unanticipated expense, but instead of just grouping it into this large $25,000 budget item, I try to separate it out here so people, not only the board, but the public and everyone else can look at our budget and actually see that, yeah, we did spend, you know, this balance is going to a specific pump station, let's say,
mm-hmm.
versus just being lumped under one large group.
That's good.
So, because I did hear a comment like from the public, like, oh, well, there's nothing in there for this pump or that pump. And it's like, well, it's there, but we just separate it out kind of as we go through the year. So.
And you're comfortable about the budgeting for bookkeeping and our other, I guess it would be called a labor.
Yeah, so the bookkeeping is of course just Janelle,
mm-hmm.
and she had, this is one full I guess budget cycle for her doing the updates. She now does the minutes and mm-hmm. her regular bookkeeping chores, and so that is why I left that the same. I know she's maybe planning this year to try to tackle some of the boxes of documents in the office, and I'm not really sure how to capture that if it's going to be part of it or if we could add to it, but.
Well, I always just want to make sure we have enough to pay our employees
and the
contractors well for what they do for us. So.
And for the employees, I just did the same as I did last year. since the reviews come in December, it leaves us with about 6 months of budget. So I just did 5% for 6 months.
Okay. I'm glad to see that you didn't reduce unanticipated expense. It's still at what percent of our total budget do you think it's, I can't do the math that fast, but.
Of the total budget?
Yeah. I guess I don't know. Well, I don't know what's advised for organizations like ours, but I'm hoping as time goes on and we get some of our infrastructure projects tackled, that eventually we can, you know, maybe make that a larger percentage of our budget.
Well, and you have to remember too, in 2 years, this $36,000 IFA loan payment principal will be falling off of our budget. So it'll have a benefit to the net cash flow for the company.
Well, I guess all I have left to say, because I think it's really clear and well done, of course. But I'd like us to buy some new signs. That's all.
That is in number 74.
Yes, I saw that. And yeah. I'm thinking that is that's a professional management consultant, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm thinking so
that's
that
where we
seems...
put. Yeah. So I left
it's pretty minimal.
Yeah. We can increase it if you want. It's so the 650 you see there, that was for the logo last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of took a ballpark on a new sign, and then magnets for the vehicles, mm-hmm. like a stick to the doors. And then also I wanted to get, which I can't see it being that big of a deal, it was basically going to be a high-vis vest with our logo on it.
Okay.
So especially like when we're working around the marinas, a lot of people... At least that way they'll know that it's us that are working around there.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the landowners elsewhere know who we are. So it's just be more for that area.
You don't think each station needs a sign?
The only station I would think that would need a sign would be the Kessie. That's the only one that's the public would get remotely close to.
Yeah.
The other stations are well behind private property lines, far removed from
that's the true public. And maybe a small sign for the office door. So I don't know, I don't think you can get all that done for $1,500, but we shall see. We can try.
Okay. Anybody else have anything they'd like to comment on for the budget? Public included? Chase, I only had a couple questions or one question and a comment. If you could scroll down to vehicles. Sorry, my computer's a little bit behind.
Rob, I don't have the numbers on my, I can't see it on the computer that well. And so I printed it off, but I don't, which.
I'll read it out. So
what category is it in?
It's number 55 or line 55. It's under vehicles, right below pumps and motors.
Oh, pumps and motors. Okay. Yeah, I got it. Thank you.
We budgeted $2,500 last year, and our estimated actual as of 6/6 is 2,003. And then the proposed budget for next year is 750. Mm-hmm. Do you anticipate not doing things to the vehicles, Chase, that we had to do this year? Tires or something?
Last year and the year prior, I knew that both vehicles were going to need a new set of tires.
Okay.
So that's why I increased it. This year, outside of anything catastrophic, I can't really anticipate. The only thing is there's usually some maintenance required on the Chevy pickup during the year. So that's kind of why I dropped that down.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. And then the only comment I have, if you scroll down to the change in cash, and this is, I know we don't have a big public audience, but in case anybody was curious about it. And again, sorry, my computer's got a little bit of a delay from Chase's, but last year we budgeted an estimate of net loss of $55,407 for change in cash. That was what we budgeted, but because Chase managed the budget so well and we were able to find some synergies and save costs here and there, we are actually still projected as of June 6th to have a $15,916 increase to change in cash. And so I'm happy to see that you budgeted it down even further. That $96,000 loss in change in cash might seem substantial, but if you compare it to what we budgeted last year, we budgeted to lose 55 and we still made 15. If we budget to lose 96, it stands to reason that we could be pretty close to breaking even and maybe dipping into that that savings a little bit. So I think you did a really good job on this budget. And I think not only on the budget for 25, but the way you manage the budget for 24, mm-hmm. you can't get much closer to what you budgeted. So great job.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some stuff in here too. I mean, just like the unanticipated expenses of 25,000, you know, that's not earmarked for anything. That's just being a, you know, a conservative, cautious budget too. So if we don't have anything major, you know, that's just kind of the way that works. And it'll build up over time. You know, you go 3, 4, 5 years without actually using that part. Then maybe 1 year though, you go way over it. Same thing with the power. And so it's like, just try to find an average.
Right. Right. And I also like seeing that you have, I think if you scroll down just a tiny bit more under pumps and motors, you know, one of our long-term infrastructure improvement projects is actually able to fit in the budget without having to raise assessments. So that's huge. Mm-hmm. $20,000 to replace the starter panel and install some floats on our Cherry Orchard pump. Actually that's pump two is on the Cherry Orchard, right? That's correct. Yeah. So
yeah, that's the one panel and the old,
go ahead.
No, it's the one that has that old two position starter. So it's
right.
But, and the other thing too is, and Rob, you and I talked about this as well on the Evans pump rebuild, is we're going to vibration test the motor uncoupled from the pump. And I'll kind of talk about this in the manager report. But the reason for that is this motor, we had Megger tested literally less than 2 months ago, and it is in great shape. There's no breakdown at all within the motor windings. And so if the motor itself doesn't have any breakdowns within the bearing couplings inside the motor, and we can uncouple it from the pump and the motor is good, I would suggest that we just set it to the side and reinstall it when we get the pump fixed. It's probably going to save us anywhere between $9,000 to $12,000 because the motor runs perfectly fine.
Did you get that contact from Wyatt for the
I was actually going back through our old records, and we had this pump actually was vibration tested a couple years ago and it was
perfect. Oh, good.
But it is coupled to the pump, so there is some
weights there.
Yeah, there's some weights on the motor because they don't, you know, nothing jives perfect when you do it. So we'll have to rebalance it and then run it. And so it'll be. And the thing about the motors is, I don't want to say they're easy to remove, but compared to the pump, they're extremely easy to uncouple and remove. So if we have problems later on, we can pull that thing out of there in no time, have it rebuilt. It's the pumps that are. Lovely.
Well, you and Wyatt and I can talk offline about IPS and some of their vibration monitoring services that they offer. But that's definitely an option if you ever want a vibration monitor or test coupled or decoupled. They do a great job, like you and I talked about. So I can get you the contact information for that, or Wyatt can.
Yeah.
Anybody else on the board or in the public have any comment about the proposed 24-25 budget? And if not, then I believe we need a motion to adopt it.
So real quick, we'll do a, if it is moved to adopt, what we also want to add in there is the resolution. Where'd it go? Sorry, bear with me. So this is a resolution that we have to send to Columbia County with our LB 50. And this is the resolution that they require to put on the tax rolls of the county. So if we do both at the same time, it saves a step.
Good call.
Mm-hmm.
Does it matter that Rob's name is spelled wrong?
Good catch.
Done.
How many T's can you fit in that thing? Good Lord. Rob H.
So are you asking us to approve the budget and this resolution in the same motion, or should we do that in two separate motions?
However you want to. I just want to make sure we get the resolution approved so I can send it to the county with the assessment.
Amanda, you want to take this?
I move to approve the 24-25 budget as presented and the resolution as presented. Does that work?
Yeah, I think it does. Is that good enough, Mr. Condit?
Yes, I would note the correction to President Hostetter's name.
As corrected, then.
Yeah, as corrected, perfect.
Okay, I'll second.
Okay. All right, thank you, ladies. So the motion's on the table to approve the budget as presented, as well as the resolution as corrected. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries. It's unanimous. Thank you, Chase. Your hard work on the back end makes this front end work very easy.
Super good work.
Hey.
Manager's report. Okay.
Okay. So, as I mentioned, we did the sump visual inspection this last month. The number three cavitation damage is bad. The pump probably needs to be repaired, as I mentioned earlier. I'm hoping this time we won't have the structural integrity issues with the diffuser housing as we had with the number one. As you can remember, the number one diffuser housing was chewed through pretty severely in multiple locations. And the number four, it also shows cavitation damage, but of course not to the extent of the number three. I'm actually going to reinspect the number four. There's a, I don't know why, but within the cavitation pitting, there's a really heavy rust, kind of a cake compound that forms. I'm not sure if it's a direct correlation of maybe the carbon within the cast, and that pump hasn't been ran for a little while, and so I'm going to try to run it and it'll blow that rust cake out of there, and then I can get a better visual of it. And so it hadn't been ran in a while, but I didn't know that stuff rebuilt that quickly, so we'll see what it looks like more thoroughly. But the outside of the diffuser housing, I'm not showing any of the pitting of it chewing all the way through that we saw in the number three. The mats at the north, again, were a problem. The nice thing was this time is the boom fence we put in actually did what we wanted it to do. It kind of pushed them all to the side of the pump station where we could access it much easier with the excavator. And though heavy, it was definitely removed much quicker. And there was a couple small beaver dams forming on the Smith Ditch that we tore out while we were there. As I mentioned in the transaction list and the transfer, ALM is on site. They're actually going to be in two different areas down at the north end of the district and by the marinas tomorrow. These were projects that I had slated for last year, but we kind of called it off after the heavy rains early. And because we are working on the riverward side of the levee, and so we definitely want to be cognizant of exposing bare soil there. And now that the weather's nice, we're ahead of fire season. Worked with ALM. They mobilized early this week. And so we saved that fire watch fee when we're inside fire season. There's an added fee that someone has to stay on site for an additional time after mechanized operations are completed. I don't know why we're in the Northwest Fire Zone 1. Sauvies Island isn't, but we are. So we have to have the extra manpower on site. So I try to work that through the seasons. The trapper has had good with beaver nutrient around the Smith Pump and the adjacent stretch of Santosh. That's kind of always the hotbed areas. The pumps are basically running where they normally run this time of year. Have had a little, not so much this week, but previous weeks we did have some gravity drainage through the north tide gates. So that always is a help. Any questions on this so far? Okay. And as we're kind of getting into the drier season of the year, the toe drains and culvert inspections are definitely going to start ramping up. The mower, the levee, I guess the slope mower, grass mower, he is scheduled to mow on June 24th. So we are on his schedule this year, pending no major breakdowns. Hopefully we can get that levee mowed much earlier than last year. Although last year it wasn't terrible because the grass stayed short all winter. And so it helped in that regard, but I figured we'd mow it during, hopefully after the grass goes to head and goes back to dormant. So we were all in the work session earlier this week. Probably don't need a whole lot of update on that. The only thing I will be asking from the board is if you have any questions or comments, please get them to me by July 1 so I can forward them on to Heidelberg. I already have the comments from our consultants, the comments that I've generated. If there's any additional comments, please let me know.
And you saw the, Chase, you saw, sorry to interrupt you, you saw the comments from Jeff Wanker too, correct?
I did.
Yeah.
So I guess moving on from there, the city and county, I thought we were really moving forward, but I haven't heard anything from them since our meeting on the 25th of April. So I was going to try to reach out to them to see what is going on there. I don't know. Rob, have you received any updates from anyone on that end?
No, I have not.
Just looking.
Not a peep.
Yeah. Looking ahead, the annual assessment due by July 15th. It'll be done or due after our next meeting, well, proposed meeting. The only caveat is I do need to get a hold of the assessment people that run the actual assessment to make sure it's completed by that time. It takes them some time to run those overlays. And with that, kind of wraps up this last month. Any questions, comments, concerns?
Based on the 408 on the risk analysis, it's been a little unclear to me along the way. Is that something that Heidelberg is going to take care of completely, or what's our involvement in it other than the questions that need to be in by July 1st? The reason for the question is, like, say, for instance, our relationship with Cornforth, we're involved with that and they're reimbursing us. It would seem that the risk or the safety actually falls on the landowners. And I'd be curious to know what Jeff Condon's comment might be on that.
And backing up what Gary said, I remember Cornforth saying, their consultant saying that the impacts of the project could be felt long after Heidelberg is gone, you know, from the site. So I would agree that I would like to know more about what both what our legal obligations are and also any risks to our landowners, especially in the long term. And also not giving Jeff Condit a chance to answer, but I don't want to forget to say that I'm kind of unclear about what the process is going forward. Can anybody explain that to me?
I'll give it a try.
Okay.
So typically, under the typical process, if a landowner wants to apply for a 408 permit to do work that's subject to that provision, which the Cadman / Heidelberg project is, they first need to get a letter of no objection from the local sponsor. We are the local sponsor. And there was a couple of years there was a lot of conflict between us and Cadman at the time, because we did not want to give a letter of no objection until they'd gone through the analysis to demonstrate that it wasn't going to have a significant impact, or if it did, that there was some mitigation measures put into place. So what I took away from the meeting on Monday is that we've got some answers, but we still have questions, and we're not going to really know where we're at until we get to the 90% design document phase. We're at the 60% now. So ultimately, they're going to need to have a letter of no objection from us. And if we refuse to give it, it's not a guarantee that the Corps will go ahead and deny the request for the 408 permit, but it is a very major, to not get it would be a significant drawback for Cadman / Heidelberg. So when we first sort of agreed with the process that the Corps decided to use on this particular application, it was with the understanding that we would get to the place where hopefully we would have those answers, particularly with regard to the impact on interior drainage and the long-term additional costs possibly the district would have to face. And things that we talked about at the time were, and this goes to the question of, what if Heidelberg gets bought out, would be posting of a bond to guarantee that somebody would be around to cover those costs, and possibly improvements to the district system in order to be able to handle particularly the interior drainage. But the three big things for the board were not undermining the levy, not creating additional costs for the district, and being able to go back in and recover any unanticipated costs in the future if they happen. So it's going to be a decision for the board with the input of our consultants when we get to 90%. Is what do we know? What are we confident in? What don't we know? What do we need some protection from if we're going to be willing to sign the letter of no objection and allow the permit to be issued?
So after the 90% package is presented to us, we go through the same process again that we just went through, correct?
Correct.
And then at that point, we have to decide we have to decide whether or not to sign at that point or when their whole package is complete or what?
Well, there wasn't a particular time period that was set by the Corps about when we had to make a final decision on the letter of no objection. So if we hit 90% design documents and there's still some question about that, then I think we can say, you know, we're not willing to issue the letter yet. We need to have assurance on these five things or these four things or however many they're out there. And then Heidelberg will have the opportunity to say, oh, that's totally unreasonable. You should approve it regardless. But I think at that point, we would be in a position to try to negotiate some concessions or work or a bond or whatever we think is necessary to protect the district going forward if we're going to issue the letter of no objection to allow the mine to proceed. So I can't give you a definitive answer on that because the court didn't give us a definitive answer on that, but that's where I think we would be at that point. I mean, we would need to have to be credible with the Corps. I mean, the Corps is the entity that has to make the final decision. So to be credible for the Corps, we need to have some evidence-based objections. And if they get to 90% design documents and we have questions, like some of the questions that came up were, is that berm going to be a water retention berm or is it just there to protect noise? That was one question. You know, what is the effect of its? It's just an acknowledgement that there's going to be an effect with the mine on the interior drainage. So what is that effect and how does that affect the district's long-term costs? You know, those are questions that I think from the district's perspective, you're going to want to have be able to be comfortable with the answers or to have some sort of a structure in place, whether that's a contract or a bond or whatever, to ensure that you can you have some guarantees that provides long-term protection to the property owners. Because ultimately, you know, the property owners are the ones who are on the hook for the additional costs of maintaining the interior drainage or the levee if in fact there's not if in fact there's going to be some significant impact. So that's about as much assurance as I can give.
Do you think there's any benefit to talking to somebody from the Corps a little bit more about the timeline or any of that? Or is we just need to wait till the 90% package is ready?
The timeline is dependent on the applicant completing the documents. It's important for us, which Chase is already doing, to make the comments and our concerns that we talked about on Tuesday available to the Corps. And I think everybody acknowledges that there are some unknowns yet that they're going to have to submit some evidence on for us to be willing to go ahead.
Okay, thank you.
I'm not sure if I quite understood the answer to my question in regard to the driver or who should be in charge of the risk assessment and the safety assessment that's been presented that the Corps is requesting. I know they have a professional standard, but in the past, what we've tended to look at is that maybe we want our own consultant that we work with directly on that. Would that be an unreasonable request, or is there a reason that it was initially set up the way it is, where they are taking care of that as opposed to us?
Well, typically the applicant is required to present the information to support the permit. And the reason we have the agreement right now with Cadman for reimbursement is so that we can hire the consultants necessary for us to review their submittals and make our own decisions about whether we think they're adequate. So that's the position that we are in with regard to the application.
What would be your opinion on having them in charge and driving that particular phase as opposed to us having further involvement in doing something with the reimbursement agreement?
Well, we agreed that we would, as part of the reimbursement agreement, that we would performing a review function only. So if we wanted to do more than that, then that would be a cost the district would have to bear. T- typically in these situations, the applicant for the 408 permit has to prove it up. And our job and our goal is to be able to review that to determine whether there are any, we think there are any holes in that analysis. If we want to do more than that, then we would have to think about a budget for hiring consultants to do that.
Okay, thank you.
That's a good question, Gary.
I guess as far as I've heard through the process is the safety assessment review, or the SAR, or what it is the applicant. I don't know if they get to choose. I'm sure they have to pass a certain standard of whoever the third party, independent third party is, and most likely will have to be approved by the Army Corps of Engineers as a qualified independent third party to complete the review. It's basically, as Jerry has said, it's basically somebody doing exactly what they're doing right now, but taking all the information and then reports directly to the Army Corps as an independent third party. That's the way I understand it. If they are required to complete a semi-quantitative risk analysis, which is a much, much larger risk analysis, that will include a lot of different people, a lot of different individuals, and we will most likely be directly involved in that as well.
Sorry, Chase, I'm trying to pull up my, you already got the agenda pulled up. I'm trying to pull mine back up.
And I just want to mention, I called Harlow a little while ago, and she said that the rent is showing that it's getting paid on time, and she's going to do her walk by, as she mentioned before. So nothing really new to report there.
Apologize, our contractors, I guess our job got canceled Monday, so they're going to stay on site. So apologize for that. Okay. I don't have anything legal personnel. I guess with that, we could go into the upcoming meeting. Does anybody else have any conflict with July 11th?
And back at 6 o'clock.
At 6 o'clock.
Every time I look at my clock, I'm like, dang, we've gone for an hour and 43 minutes, but we really haven't.
Yeah.
Okay, July 11th. I look good on July 11th.
Or Janelle?
That's fine. Thank you.
Yep.
Yep.
Works for me.
Sounds good.
You good on the 11th, Mr. Condit?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Okay, let's take a look at our master calendar. Oh, you already got it pulled up. Nice job.
Not a lot of board stuff. Looks like we got staff. stuff.
Oh.
Financial information, CPA to complete taxes. Do you know, do you need any help with the updating the government and partner agency contact list? I know we just, seems like we just did that yesterday, but I know that it was a few months ago. And I know you're busy with field stuff this time of year too. So if you and JR are slammed with, you know, the technical stuff and field stuff, and you want to kick that over my way, I don't mind chipping away at that and then giving it to you in draft form to review.
Yeah, I'll take a quick look at it. I know it's, like you said, it's pretty recent, so I'm not sure there's going to be a lot of changes, but I definitely could kind of skim it over real quick.
I wouldn't mind looking at that too.
And there's going to be some updates with the changes at the city, and it sounds like they have candidates for new city managers. Email the other day that they have, I believe, four candidates to fill Alex Reigns'
position. That reminds me. Just hold on a second.
Did they have a critical path as far as what the next steps were to bring them on board? Because there's a meet and greet, I think, at some point in time coming up.
It sounds like there's a meet and greet. A day or two, and then they were going to do the actual interviews the following day, and then most likely have probably the next town meeting or a city council meeting.
Yeah.
They don't have it on their city meetings calendar that came in the mail. That's weird. They are going to be discussing, I just wanted to mention, I don't actually get this paper because I'm not a city resident, but somebody gave this to me, and the city is proposing an increase to water, wastewater, and stormwater rates at the June 17th council meeting. If approved, the increase will take effect on July 16th. I thought that was interesting that they included stormwater rates in there. Just thought I would mention that because, you know, I'm not sure what they need to charge the people for exactly. But anyway, I guess they're getting ready to increase their stormwater rates.
It might be good to keep a close eye on that. Maybe even if one of us can attend the meeting. And then I was looking Tuesday, June 11th at Scappoose High School from 6 to 8. They're going to have the meet and greets for the four city manager finalists, Jay, Peter, Benjamin, and W. Scott Jorgensen. Just looking at the
what time is here. That on June 11th?
6 to 8.
6 to 8.
So let's see.
We have a conflict.
I can be available. I don't know how intimate this meet and greet is going to be, but and I don't know how much influence we have on it, but it might be an opportunity. So Chase, if Karen's got a conflict, we can talk about what our schedules look like and figure out if one of us can sneak over there or something.
Sorry, I was on mute. Did you say June 11th?
Yeah, June 11th from 6 to 8 at the high school. I'm currently on my schedule. I don't show anything that late, so I could probably sneak over there too and at least introduce ourselves. But if you're available, it might be better. Give them those fancy new business cards finally. They know who we are.
Right?
And a trifold pamphlet. So cool. Well, if you think about it, I know I'm sure it's on the SharePoint, but if you could kick over the wherever it's located, the government and partner agency contact list to Karen and I, we don't mind taking a whack at it and making sure it's updated after, you know, after or before you put your eyes on it, Chase. I know you got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah,
more than happy to help.
Yeah, actually, that's a good idea. I can shoot that over some shit link, and then, like I said, we'll get that updated.
Cool.
Perfect.
Okay.
Action items.
I have the transfer. We got the budget resolution done. I'll have, probably have that laid out. Rob, if you want to sign that, I'll get a hold of you.
What was the amount for the transfer again? I didn't write it down.
27.4.
27.4. Okay.
Yeah.
Janelle needed us to be timely about signing the checks this month, right?
During payroll.
Yeah.
There's a tight turnaround at payroll. And then if Gary and Amanda want to run down and sign the current checks on the counter, that would be great. There's only two, I believe.
And if either one of you have schedule conflicts at the end of the month, just shoot me a text. I can sneak down there and sign two if needed.
What's the due date on that? The 29th, if I remember right.
Signing them will be the 27th because they'll be prepared the 26th, need to be signed by the 27th, and they'll need to be given out on the 28th.
Got it.
Thank you.
All righty. I think that wraps it up.
Okay. Wow. Well, everybody, thanks for joining. Two meetings in 1 week. We've seen a lot of each other, and I appreciate your time and commitment. So it's 7:51. We still made it under an hour. Great job on the budget, Chase. It's
still way, way faster than it used to be. So just saying.
Well, pretty awesome job on the budget. And great job sticking really close to the current budget as well. The proposed budget looks great. So with that said, 7:51, 7:52 now, we'll go and call this meeting adjourned. Everybody have a fantastic evening, and we will see you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Good night, everyone.
Have a good night.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Good night.